One of the reasons I love being a preacher is because I love encouraging people to trust in Christ and to become a Christian. Children, let me share a story of a schoolhouse scene that took place nearly 200 years ago in the Irish town of Coleraine. There was a boy who was sitting in class. And he was really upset, really sad. The teacher could see this. He was crying, couldn't do his work. So the teacher finally decided just to send him home. But to make sure he had some comfort on the way, he sent an older boy in the class home to walk with him. What was the matter with this boy? Well, the teacher heard him say he'd been to church and realized he wasn't a good boy. He was convicted and he wanted to be a Christian, but he didn't know how to become one. The older boy heard this on the way home. He said, "I can help." And so they stepped into an abandoned house and talked. A short time later, the two boys come back. The teacher's all surprised. He looked at the boy who had been so upset and asked him, "Are you sure you're okay?" The boy said with a big smile, "I'm all better. In fact, I'm so happy now. I have Jesus in my heart and I have become a Christian." And he sat down in the class to resume, and the other boys in the class started to get a little upset. And one walked up to the teacher, really upset, and said, "Can I go out for a little bit with the older boy?" So the teacher sent this older boy and this kid out to the playground, and a minute later, another kid came up. "Can I go out too?" Because he's all upset. Soon you have a playground filled with all these boys listening to this older boy, and eventually they're all on their knees. They're all praying. And it got the attention of the girls' school next door. And suddenly they're coming out to the playground. And soon you have this playground filled with children, all coming to Jesus and becoming Christians. And folks walking by in the town happen to notice this. And soon they're coming onto the playground. And so the schoolmaster had to call a local pastor. "We got an issue here at the school." So they called this local pastor, but people kept showing up, so they had to call more pastors and more pastors. Kids, it ended up being the longest school day ever in the history of Coleraine. Finally, at 11 p.m., they said, "School's done. We're glad to close the gates." This is how the famous Ulster Revival of 1859 broke out. Over the coming months in Northern Ireland, over 100,000 people came to faith. All because one boy knew how to become a Christian and shared it with an upset little friend. So let me ask you the question. What would you say to someone who asked you, "How do I become a Christian? How can you know that you're a Christian?" We're in a series on Christian worship. We're actually walking through our bulletin, page by page. Today we're asking the question, why do we recite the Apostles' Creed each and every week? And the reason is because the Apostles' Creed tells the Christian story. This is our story. It is the good deposit that the Apostle Paul tells Timothy, we're going to read in this next text, told him to keep in guard, and actually the final letter before his death. I want you to turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy, you'll find it also printed in your bulletin. We're going to read the first 14 verses. But before we go to the Word of the Lord, let's go to the Lord of the Word in prayer together. Heavenly Father, we're about to read this ancient manuscript that has so much relevance for our day today. In fact, it's of ultimate relevance. So I pray that you might speak to our hearts. Will you sow seeds right now into each and every heart here that may grow up into salvation and faith in Jesus Christ? And we pray this in His name. Amen. Now hear the word of our God from Paul's final letter before his death to Timothy. Now hear God's word. "Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher and apostle and teacher, which is why I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. Here it is. Follow the pattern of sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God endures forever. Well, we've been walking through our bulletin to see why do we set up worship the way we do. And last week, we looked at why do we pray together as a church. Now, the story I told you about the young boy who suddenly wanted to become a Christian, there's actually a backstory. 2 years prior to that, a small group in Northern Ireland committed to pray. 2 years prior and began committing to prayer, constant prayer. And God answered their prayer by putting desire in folks' hearts. Did you see them all just coming into the school round? That was God's work. It started through prayer. Folks wanting to suddenly become Christians who had no desire before. Now, we've been praying for God to work in our communities, in our families. We've been praying. We've been committing to doing that. So here's the question then for you. What will we do if revival came to Elkhart, Indiana? What would we do if revival came to Northern Indiana? If suddenly someone comes up to you upset, brokenhearted over their sin, what they made of their lives, what would you do if someone comes up to you and says, "Hey, how can I become a Christian?" What will you tell that curious family member who you've been praying for years, and suddenly they come up and they say, "I want to become a..." What will you say to them? As a child, I actually remember Chick Tracks. Anybody remember Chick Tracks? Yeah. We're told to pass these out. Basically, as many as you get, you hope to knock a few people down. You know, it's kind of like, you know, it was just, there were these little cartoon track books, right? And they showed you the way to salvation. That was good. Most of them ended with this prayer where you ask Jesus into your heart. You confess your sins. And praise God for that. Many people have become Christians through them. And I'm not anti-tracks. I think there might even have a few back there. But there are potential pitfalls to these. Number one, Jesus never actually told us, do you want to ask me into your heart? Raise your hand. Say a prayer. Jesus never asked that. See, I believe Chick Tracks and easy believism is why the American church is not growing like the rest of the world. American Christianity is a mile wide and only an inch deep. Friends, I'm inviting you to get to know God and find identity in Jesus Christ in a deeper, realer way. Far more than you'll get from a tiny little booklet with pictures on it, okay? God wants you to go deeper. He's inviting you today to go deeper, which is why he gave you actually a very big Bible. This is actually really small words. It's hard for me to read. This is a big Bible. So you can get to know him intimately. And by the way, if you don't have a Bible, we have free ones in the back, large print. I just bought some more. Take one with you. The Bible is filled with stories, and it is altogether God's big story and how we can be rightly, you and I can be rightly related to him. But back to our question, how do I become a Christian? Someone comes up to you. Well, you say the Bible gives us the answer. What are you going to do then at that point? You're going to open up Genesis 1:1 and start reading. This is how you become a Christian, all the way to Revelation 22. I don't think any of us want to try to do that, right? What you need is a pattern of sound words. That's what Paul refers to in verse 13. the Apostle Paul gave Timothy a gospel summary and said, guard the good deposit. The good deposit. The facts of the faith. Friends, this is why we recite the Apostles' Creed each and every week. We should probably all have it memorized by now, right? It's why we have a catechism question every week. If you know the Apostles' Creed, guess what? You know what it means, how to become a Christian. You know what it means to be a Christian. If you believe the Apostles' Creed, you are a Christian. It is the gospel story, what the Bible teaches in a nutshell. Al Mohler says it well, all Christians believe more than is contained in the Creed, Apostles' Creed, but none can believe less. If you don't know who Al Mohler is, even John Wayne said, I just heard this yesterday, a man's got to have a code, a creed to live by. I didn't say it like him, I'm sorry. So I invite you to turn now to the next page where we have the Apostles' Creed printed. And I've got three words to help us consider who God is and the story the creed tells us. Three words, believe, belong, build. Believe, belong, build. And our theme is going to be from the moment you first believe, you belong to a better story you can build your life on. From the moment you first believe, you can belong to a better story you can build your life upon. So starting with believe. Now notice the Apostles' Creed has three parts. And each one begin with, I believe. This is so important. I believe in the Father. I believe in the Son, Jesus Christ. I believe in the Holy Spirit. This is why earlier we sang, holy, 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 because God is in three persons in the Blessed Trinity. God has revealed Himself as one God in three persons in the Bible. Paul, did you notice in our text? He bookends it with praising the Father and the Son, and then the Son and the Holy Spirit. And God began revealing this. It's the story that He's revealing Himself more and more throughout the whole Bible. Maybe look at the Shema. Actually, back up two more pages. I know I'm making you all in the bulletin. Deuteronomy 6, which Mark read earlier. This was our call to confess, but it was also known as the Shema, most important to the Israelite people. Deuteronomy is this book. Moses is giving his final sermons at the end of his life, and he gave the Jews this. This is the Shema. This is their creed. To this day, Orthodox Jews still recite this. When I was in Hebrew class in seminary, I had to learn how to say this in Hebrew. Don't ask me to do it now. It is so crucial. This is their creed. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. Jump ahead. I moved ahead a few verses. You shall not go after other gods, the gods of the peoples who are around you. For the Lord your God in your midst is a jealous God. This is what they were to believe. And notice, after the introduction, there's this call to love God with all our heart. These words are to be on their hearts. This is important, and I really want to flesh this out in the sermon. This is like a pledge of allegiance where you put your hand on your heart, okay? On your heart. It's not a pledge, though, to a place. It's a pledge to a person. A pledge to a person. The Lord who wants your heart, who wants you to love Him for who He is and for all He's done for you, which is, by the way, everything. Our creed tells us that we are to love and be devoted to the Lord for who He is, which is important because, you know what? We live among a peoples of many gods. No different than ancient days. What do you mean, Joel? Well, in Israel's day, they had all these nations and they served the god of war, the god of this nation, or the god of thunder, or the god of the crops. We moderns have actually one-upped them. We have one-upped them. Today, we worship as many gods as there are peoples. And I don't mean different religions. Yes, we celebrate a lot of other cultures here. The main view today is that every individual has the freedom to find who God is for you. To decide who God is for you. What would make God meaningful for me? What is true for me? And then, so long as you believe in this God and have a really sincere faith, we're like, yay, great job. I talk to people every single week who tell me who God is to them. So there's many gods as there are individuals. See what I'm saying? But if you create another God, you cannot be a Christian. The Shema and the Apostles' Creed both say there's only one true God. Only one. Now, Joel, you're being very small-minded and intolerant. I don't think so. Let me illustrate using Rex. Rex, I know I've used you a lot. You might like this one, okay? Rex, what if I told you that you have had incredible impact on my life, okay? Our relationship was so meaningful that you've helped me on my own life journey that I decided I'm going to make a movie about you and your life. Now, Rex would be very excited. He told me this. No, I'm just kidding. His secret is to be on the big screen, right? To be known for him, who he is, all the mattering things he's done. So Rex goes to the movie premiere. He's front seat. Can you see him now with popcorn and soda? The screen begins with shots of the hometown he grew up in, the house. He sees early shots of his family members. And then comes the big reveal. And Rex steps out onto the big screen. And he's a 7-foot-tall ball player. And he lives in a house all by himself. He's a mean guy with a whole lot of cats. I saw Rex's face with the cats right there. I'm sorry about that, Rex. But what would Rex say to me after the movie? He'd say, "Joel, I didn't recognize myself. I'm a medical doctor who loves people far more than cats. How could you make a movie, Rex, that doesn't look like me?" Could I argue with Rex at this point and say, "Rex, you're being very small-minded and intolerant. I see you quite differently. You mean way more to me as a cat-loving meanie baller, okay? You mean more to me that way." Rex would be furious with me, wouldn't he? That's a good reason, because I don't know Rex at all. I can't say that I know and appreciate Rex if I create Rex to be who I want him to be. We get that, don't we? I can only know and appreciate Rex if I know the reality of who Rex is as a person. And if there's a truth of Rex, how much more is there a truth of God who is more real than any single one of us? Which is why our creed begins with God, Father Almighty, Maker, our Maker, Maker of heaven and earth. Not the other way around. God created us, we don't create Him. And let me add, we need a real God, greater than we can invent. We need to believe in someone or something who can save us. You and I are born into a world with far greater problems than you and I can handle. We know this. Evil, shame, war, natural disasters, recessions, depressions, financial disaster, your own temptations, your own proclivity to fall into sins that you know you shouldn't do again and again. Oh, and then there's death. A God of your own invention cannot save you. And you know it. We all know it. A God you construct cannot give you assurance, cannot give you pardon for your failings, especially when the big thing comes that starts to destroy you. We need the truth about a God who made us, who stands outside of us, who is almighty and offers us a real salvation that you can take a hold of. What a firm foundation to remind yourself again and again in our creed. We believe in God the Father Almighty. And we believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. What does that mean? It means we believe Father God sent a Savior who entered into our condition, who entered in the lowliest of our conditions. It doesn't matter how lowly you are, how bad you've had it growing up. Remember the story of Nathanael in John 1, who hears the Messiah has come in Jesus, and Nathanael says, "Can anything good come from Nazareth? It's this backwater place. Nobody wants to say they're from Nazareth." And then he famously meets Jesus, who shows Nathanael he knows everything about him, knows his thoughts, everything he's been doing. Jesus actually entered into Nathanael's condition, a skeptic. And Jesus still accepted him. And when Nathanael discovered he was completely exposed and yet still greatly loved, that moment, like that little boy, his heart changed and he confessed Jesus to be his Lord. And Jesus marveled and he said this, "Do you believe? You'll see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." What in the world is Jesus saying there? Jesus is saying that if you believe in Him, God's only Son, our Lord, Jesus becomes for you a ladder to heaven. And He's the way to the glory that you were made for. And Jesus knows we need to hear this because we're all ladder constructing all the time. I was actually just talking with a ladder construction guy just the other day. Yeah. Just as there's only one God, there's only one ladder to heaven. That's what upset this little boy. He saw that at that moment in his life, his ladder wasn't working. It wasn't going to hold him up. It wasn't going to get him anywhere. I've talked with people. I talk to them all the time. They trust that they're going to get to heaven because they've been a good little boy or a good little girl. They look around at everybody else. I've been better than them. You know what that is? A bad ladder that won't hold you up. God sent Jesus to be the first holy, holy human. A firm ladder for any of us to take a hold of. God became human to be what we failed to be and then paid our debts when He died on that cross. Let me ask you, are you holding firmly to Jesus? Are you holding firmly to Him today? You got a hold of Him? You will see great things if you do. We recite, we believe in the Lord Jesus each week because we want this reality to sink into us. So let's move to belonging. To believe is to belong. And for homework, I want you to read all of Deuteronomy 6 this week. The passage where that Old Testament Israel's creed is found. And you're going to find in that passage that they're told to teach this to their children. To nail it to the doorpost. And there's expectation at the very end of the chapter, the kids are going to come up to you parents and say, what's this all about? What's this creed? Why do we nail it to our doorpost? And the parent is to say this, because we were slaves in Egypt once, but with God's mighty hand, He came and saved us, crushed our Egyptian persecutors, and brought us into this good land. Did you catch that? You're to say to your children, we were slaves in Egypt once. This is what Jews, generations later, who never lived in Egypt, were to say. We need to understand Jewish remembering means belonging. Jewish remembering means belonging. By reciting and remembering this creed, they were actually entering into a bigger story. God's story of salvation. To believe is to belong. To belong to a redeemed people. A story that God has been stretching back from the beginning of human history, Genesis 1. And this, it's actually the story we read about in that text, 1 Timothy, or 2 Timothy. Timothy heard this story from his grandmother Lois, from his mother Eunice, verse 5. Chapter 3, Paul goes on to speak how Timothy has been acquainted with the Scriptures since his childhood, since he was a little boy. And to the present day, Orthodox Jews recite the Shema and say to their kids, we were slaves in Egypt once. And God saved us. Jewish remembering is reciting that we belong to this story. The story, the greatest rescue mission in human history. That's our story. Friends, this is our reality. When we take this creed and we recite it together, we aren't just 30-so people reciting a creed here. We're joining with slaves in Egypt. We're joining with everyone who has believed after. Our voices are joining with billions of saints over multi-millennia when we recite this creed. We're saying we belong to a bigger story. We belong to a bigger people than just us here. I want to say a word about stories because, friends, we are hardwired for story loving. I just read Pinocchio the other night for the first time in years. I've been thinking about it ever since. I keep thinking about Pinocchio. You know, Geppetto, yeah, someone's laughing over here. He wants a son. He wants a boy. And he creates this wooden boy, and he wants him to come to life. And then when he does come to life, he's just so happy. I mean, I got pulled right into this story. And I got frustrated. Because Pinocchio loved Geppetto. But he couldn't obey one single rule. Not a single one. I'm like, no, Pinocchio, don't believe the lie about Pleasure Land. You'll become a donkey. Don't do it. I knew the story where it was going. But the ending was good. I was so happy he finally became a real boy at the end. And his father embraced him. That's such a good story ending, isn't it? Why do we love stories? Why do we love Peter Pan? Why do we love Snow White? Why do we love heroes? Evil sorcerers who come in, they have kingdoms, right? They take us to a kingdom long ago. The ventures. Stories are heavenly homing beacons, friends. Heavenly homing beacons. Because our hearts know that we are born and there's something wrong with us. We're made of wood. Our hearts are often made of wood. We break the rules. We lie to those we love. We live for pleasure, right? And it lets us down. It turns us into something we're not want to be. We were made to be real and to know a Father's love. The problem is we're born into a broken world and we're constantly subject to sin, right? We keep falling into it. Yes, there's an evil sorcerer who has our world under a spell. Yet, we believe in a land where we're going to be children forever and we're going to fly. Yes. We believe in a better kingdom. Friends, the best stories, the ones I love, they point us to the ultimate story and the coming kingdom. There is a son who came and conquered the evil one who had this world under a spell, who gave his life and died at the hands of an evil villain. We recite it in the Creed every week. And he came to life again as a new and better version of humanity in the resurrection. That's why we recite the next part of the Creed, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. It gets worse there, right? But then, the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. Jesus came, and he came preaching a better kingdom, where we're going to be forever children of our Heavenly Father. We'll never grow old. And this is the story, the kingdom that I want to encourage us. We have the opportunity to seek it today. Let's turn to our memory meditation verse for this month. The bottom of our page, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 and 34. Jesus taught us, let's say together, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Anybody struggling with anxiety? Yeah, I saw a lot of hands. It's because we're in a broken world and we're sinful people. But Jesus says, don't be anxious about those things. I know what you want. Some of us, we got storylines. We all got a story we're trying to live into. Stories, we need them because they give us meaning. They give us purpose in our lives. Some of us we're living for true love, right? That's the story we want to live into. Some of us, we're trying to become liberated. We grew up in a bad side of the tracks, right? So our whole lives, we're going to make it in this world. We're going to show people. I grew up because I was going to be a Dallas Cowboy wide receiver. That was what I wanted to be when I was little. It didn't come true. We all have stories that we want to live into. It's why we love stories. In Paul's day, there were stories. You had the Greek and the Roman gods. There were these heroes. Folks would admire them, right? Same in our day. We have these superheroes. I know a young man who loves Spider-Man. It was all dressed up yesterday. In our day, we tried to say, the stories, they're just all myths. Everything's science and fact. Didn't work, did it? No, because nobody can live with only the facts. We find meaning in stories. That's what makes life worth living. There's actually national narratives. Had them in Paul's day. I remember growing up with the national narratives. You know, you kind of have two main stories. In America, they're actually dying now. You had the one story where it's about America the Great, the city on a hill, right? In fact, we're the great nation. You have the movies, Saving Private Ryan, right? This is the conservative story. A lot of people, they're all about that. Because we always have good guys and we have bad guys. And anybody who's against America, they're the bad guys. But then you also have the storyline, oh, no, America's the oppressor. It's the liberal model, right? The liberal story. The progressive model. We've oppressed and now we need to repay others. We need to help and we need to repay all of our debts for what we've done. I'm getting a little political here, aren't I? You got your movies, Aaron Brockovich, you know, someone who comes out of this needs to be liberated. 12 years a slave. You have these two storylines, the great narratives. They started to die out when I was a teenager, and then 9/11 came, right? And these two narratives came back big and strong. These narratives always die, Peter, out. They always. Like Rome. Rome died, and America will die one day. They're old and dying stories. Just like our two presidential candidates who stand there. Yeah, I'm getting a little political right now. Those are the two narratives. Those are the two stories you can buy into. They're old and dying. They're still trying to draw us in. And guess what? Young people aren't voting for either one of them because they bought into their own story. Live for me. Do what's right for me. Say what's right and wrong. My success, my happiness. We're all trying to live into a story. But all these stories are going to let us down. All of them. America will go down like mighty Rome one day. Those who are oppressed, they may rise to great heights. They'll go down like the flowers of the grass. They'll fade away. Every one of us has a story-shaped hole in our hearts that can only be filled by the gospel. God has an abundant life that you can build your life upon. A story that you can belong to by believing. A story that is found in our Apostles' Creed each and every week. And I know some of you have been thinking, wow, I've never thought of the Creed as an exciting story, Joel. It's a bunch of boring facts, principles. We don't see them as our story, do we? We recite them week after week. Do you ever thought, wow, what an exciting story? It's actually why I give you illustrations all the time. You guys need the little stories. Right? You hear about forgiveness of sins. That's just a principle. It doesn't do much for you, right? Forgiveness of sins. The creed nailed on the doorpost, right? That doesn't do anything to change your life. Until you connect to being redeemed from Egypt and you remember what else was on that doorpost. The blood of the Lamb. Washed in the blood of the Lamb. God didn't save you through principles. He saved you through a story. The story of the Son who was the Lamb who became slain. That's what we need to build our lives on. We need the Holy Spirit actually to bring us into a community. This last part of the creed. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and where our story ends, the life everlasting. The Holy Spirit brings the Word of God to life. He puts flesh on the facts, pounds on the principles of our creed. Last night I went to a dinner. There's a guy named George Denehy. He was born in Romania in the 90s without arms. Romania at this point in time, the Soviet bloc had just ended. All these countries are in total chaos. His mother and his father bring him home to a very superstitious little village. And they said he's cursed. He has demons. That's why he's born with no arms. In fact, you guys are cursed if you keep him. So George Denehy was placed in an orphanage. They had actually a date death on his crib. And some folks from America saw his picture and decided to adopt him. They brought him home. He was 2 years old. He weighed 9 pounds. They brought him home, a Christian home, began to share with him the faith. And I watched George Denehy last night, and he plays the guitar with his feet. Amazing singer. Shared his story. And he shared how he actually wasn't happy for a long time as a boy. Why? Because he wanted to be a real boy. a real boy with arms. That was what a real boy is. And then the story of John 9 hit him right between the eyes. Story where Jesus is walking with his disciples. They see the man with a disability. He's born blind. And they say, hey, what's wrong with him? This George knows lots of people who point, what's wrong with him? He had a guy walk up to him on the beach. What's wrong with you? You get attacked by sharks? Yeah, two at the same time. They think something's wrong with him. He has a disability. These disciples, same thing. The blind man. What's wrong with him, Jesus? Is he cursed by God? And Jesus said this, no. He was born this way for the glory of God, so great works might be shown in his story. At that moment, he realized his biggest disability was not his missing arms. His disability was his wooden heart. His wooden heart, that he wasn't a Christian yet. And he got really upset because he wasn't living into the bigger story that he was made for. And the Holy Spirit was working on his heart, and he said, I became a real boy at that point. And he looked at all of us and he said, you guys are disabled too. Until you get that new heart. What changed him? What can change any of us, as broken as we are? Recognizing we belong to a bigger story than us. A better story than us. That God knitted him together in his mother's womb with no arms. For a purpose, to be part of Jesus' family, to be part of Jesus' story. So what is abundant life? To begin to live into that story, not the stories that you're going to be told, not the stories you want to believe, this magical life that you want to have. No. If we want to live into God's bigger story, guess what? We're going to actually impact this world. We'll find ourselves also walking with sad people. And we're going to have a story to tell them. A story that can fill their hearts with joy by God's grace and the Holy Spirit's power. So I want us to think about our creed a little bit differently. I want us to try and put flesh on it, to remember what we've been given, and continue to pray for the Holy Spirit and give thanks to God, if you are a Christian, that you are one. And if you're not, well, let's pray right now that we become one, or that we better live into it. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what manner of love is this, that we should be called your children? And such we are, because you sent your Son into our world to be what we have not been, and to do pay for everything that we have broken in this world. How we thank you. And if we do not yet know you, we do ask you, Lord Jesus, to come and change us. Send your Holy Spirit, that we may begin to believe, that we might know that we can belong, that we might begin to build our lives upon the faith once for all delivered to the saints. We thank you for your word and this wonderful story, and I ask and pray that it will become more and more real to us, especially as we leave here. There's going to be plenty of temptations to stories that will lead us nowhere. We ask and pray that you'll help us to see how you created us with a unique story that fits into your wonderful story, that we might show a watching world that needs to see a good story who you are and how much you love us. We give you thanks for all you've done. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.